be like in the United Synagogue where the rabbi says the word leave.
Torrey Way, North West London, Thursday, the 27th of January, Chof Hei Shvat, Rabbi Yanky Wiesenfeld on the subject of Pshora.
I think so. I reset it. That's on. Are you going to do it again?
No.
Rabbi Sai, first of all, thank you to Dudi and to Torah Way for the opportunity to share a few divrei Torah. Lila Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Chava Dvorio Basimcha Yisor Lalea Sholem, whose yotzad is today, and Lila Nishmas, my father, Zechron Levrocha, Rabbi Yitzchok Ben Rabbi Yaakov, whose yotzad will be in Yetz Shem on Shabbos, it's his 10th yotzad. V'yonuchu b'sholem al mishkavoyson, Amen. And I use that expression of Yonuchu B'Sholoim deliberately. We'll come to it in a few minutes. So the Pasuk starts off in this week's Sedra. Ve'ele ha-mishpotim ha-shetosim lifneihem. These are the mishpotim that you shall place in front of them. And the kasha is lifnei whom? In front of whom are you placing these mishpotim? These are the laws. But who are the people who are going to that you're going to place your halacha in front of, that you're going to go to for a psak? Zogt, Dan Englander was here yesterday from the Beis Din. Lifneihem is in front of a Beis Din Shal Yisrael. And Dan Englander spoke about the Yisrael going to Akoris. We dash lifneihem veloy lifnei Akum. There's a chiyuv for Jewish people to take their cases to a Beis Din in order to have their cases done, judged by Dayonim. According to the Dine Torah, the Pasuk says quite clearly, that the two people who have an argument shall stand lifnei Hashem, we learn this in front of the Dayonim, fine. Who were lifneihem? Who were the judges at the time when the mishpot was given, when this commandment was given? These were the Dayonim that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed as a result of the advice of Yisroi in last week's Sedra. Yisro came along and he said, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the sole judge for the entire of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he had people sitting in his waiting room, and the non-stop cases, and the waiting room was always full. And he said to him, you're going to get worn out, you're going to break down. He gave him advice, and I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be maskim. And then he told him, "Va'atosechze, you shall appoint dayonim." And then he said at the end, "Imes adova azeh tase v'tivcho elakim." If you will do what I say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be maskim and tell you that you should do that, then v'yachol ta'amoid, you'll be able to survive. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. Actually, the waiting room of Moshe Rabbeinu is reminiscent of the way that they used to speak about the waiting room of Dr. Adler Zichron Levracha. Yeah, Dr. Adler Zichron Levracha, people used to go there and they used to spend a long time waiting. They told stories about two ladies as well, now Malka and Esther, who used to go there every Thursday, Chok V'lo Yavor, and they used to come along with their sandwiches and their thermos flasks and their knitting. And they used to meet up every week, and they would sit at Gunson and talk about Dr. Adler waiting to see the doctor. And one week, Esther's sitting there, and she's waiting for Malka to turn up, and Malka doesn't come. Yeah, and Malka didn't turn up all day. She got very worried about her. As soon as she got home, she phones up Malka. She says, "Where were you today?" She says, "I wasn't feeling well." So, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the advice of Yisroi, he appointed 78 plus thousand judges. There were over 78,000 Dayonim, and 78,000 Dayonim were now replacing one Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a bit like they say that 10 children cannot do for two parents what two parents can do for 10 children. They used to say about the Gateshead Rav, Zichron Levracha, Rav Rakov. He was nifta in July 2003, and there was a period of almost 5 years when Gateshead didn't have a Rav, and therefore they needed to replace Rav Rakov in various functions, so they made committees of Rabbonim. So they had a committee of Avada Rabbonim for Kashrus, Avada Rabbonim for Chinuch, Avada Rabbonim for Choshen Mishpot, and for the Kehillah, and for Shilas, etc., etc. There were 10 committees of Rabbonim who struggled to do the work of one Rav Rakov, who was the Rav of Gates for 39 years. So far, so good. We know that now we've got an obligation that instead of going direct with every case to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to go to these 78,000 judges, to the Bote Dinim, and we're going to give away, and we're going to present our case in front of them. That was you'll be able to survive. Kasha is, then Yisrael added another phrase at the end. He said, and this people will arrive at their destination, b'shalom. And the question is, what was Yisrael adding on? He said to him, this is the Eitzah, and if you do it, then you'll be able to survive, otherwise you'll go crazy. What did he want to add with that? That Klal Yisrael will arrive in Eretz Yisrael b'shalom as a result of this Eitzah. So that's one kasha. What did he want? The second kasha is, there's a Gemara in Brochas Daf Samach Dalad, and in other places as well. I think we'll come to it very soon in Moed Kotten as well, Chof Ches. Hanifta mechaveroi, somebody who says goodbye to a friend, who's parting from someone that he knows well. Al yoim aloi, he should not say leich b'shalom, but he should say leich l'shalom. Says the Gemara. When Moshe left Yisroi, he asked permission to go back elcha el achay Hashem b'Mitzrayim. I want to go back to Mitzrayim in order to help them out. So, v'yoim Yisroi l'Moshe, leich l'shalom. Go l'shalom. Similarly, Eli said to Chana, after she'd been davening in the Beis Hamikdash for a child, and she'd explained that she wasn't shikra, he said to her, "Lechi l'shalom, v'lekei Yisrael yitenes shelos seicha sheshalat miyemoi." Yeah, go l'shalom. Says the Gemara that hanifta mechaver, if you're saying goodbye to a living person, then you say lech l'shalom. Masha inkein hanifta min ameis, somebody who is parting from a mace at a levaya, for instance, al yoim aloi leich l'shalom. You don't say to the nifter l'shalom, but you say leich b'shalom. David said to Avshalom, his son, leich b'shalom, holach v'nitle, and Avshalom died. The whole story there as to how he died. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Avraham, va'ato tovoi el avisecho b'shalom, tikove b'seiva toivo. So, somebody who's niftam in ameis says b'shalom, somebody who's niftam in achai says leich l'shalom. And so is the minig, I think, that I remember Mr. Dunner, Heinz Dunner, Zichron Levrocha. He was niftam, wasn't he? Yeah, so Heinz Dunner, he always used to, that when they were lowering the coffin into the cave, al makamo yovel v'shalom. So b'shalom is for ameis. So the kasha is that here Yisrael said, v'gam kolom azeh, al makoy moy yovoy v'sholoy, and he should have said, according to the Gemara, al makoy moy yovoy l'sholoy. Why did he say b'sholoy? The Hesber, by the way, the Maral says that the Hesber, others say the same Hesber. The explanation: what's the difference between l'sholoy and b'sholoy? L'sholoy means that you're going, but you're carrying on doing more things. You're alive and you're continuing. You're doing more mitzvahs. You're accumulating more zechusim, etc. That's l'sholoy. You're going towards, but you're still carrying on and improving. Masha'inke lech b'shalom, the account's closed. The nifter, he's done his mitzvahs, he's done his averus, and the cheshbon is the cheshbon, and lech b'shalom, you go with your shleimus, with that you've achieved in your life, lech b'shalom al makoymoy yovoy v'shalom, which is why I stressed before that my shrigo lea shalom and my father's chore levocha, yeah, v'yonuchu, we say in the kelmol rachmi, v'yonuchu b'shalom al mishkavoysom. We say on Mishkovom, yeah, but Shalom, and not L'Shalom, because that's how you address a Nifte. In which case the Kasha is, what about Yisroi? Why did he say, Leich of Al-Makoimoi, Yovoi, V'Shalom? So I heard a beautiful voice, one of my favorites, from Diane Greenhouse Shlita. He spoke at the Levaya of, some of you may remember, Maya Katzenberg, Zichron Levrocha, the Shvei of Anthony Geller. The Levaya was in Green Lane outside Anthony Geller's house, and he said over a voice like this. Said, the people were sitting all day long in Moshe Rabbeinu's waiting room, and they were probably staring across the table at the other party. Yeah, two parties. You've got the Taveh, the Nitva, and they're staring at each other, coughing, dirty looks, not speaking to each other, etc. And they're getting more and more upset and more nervous all day long. Why is it taking so long? And is somebody else pushing in front of me? It was a ganze matzah. People were sitting around all day long waiting. And then the secretary would come in at whatever time it was, 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock, whenever the session finished, says, sorry, we're closed for today, there isn't any room for anybody else, come back tomorrow morning. And then they come back the next day and they sit for hours and waiting, and then the secretary says, sorry, you know, he's heard another 25 cases today, but unfortunately there isn't space. I remember during COVID, you know, during the middle of the COVID, when I had to go to Barclays Bank in Finchley Road in Golders Green, and they made us queue outside all the way back to Sassaf. You know, there was a long, long queue. And I waited about, I think, over an hour, and the queue slowly moved forward. They only allowed three people in the room in the bank at that time. And then at 2 o'clock, somebody came along and said, everybody who's beyond Rodborough Road, sorry, go home. Yeah, we haven't got space, we're finished. Yeah, by the time we close at 3:30, we're not seeing any more. So this happened to people who were waiting in Moshe Rabbeinu's waiting room. And what happened? A lot of people decided, you know what? I can't be bothered. I'm not going back. I won't go. And maybe they spoke to each other. They said, we're not coming back. It's ridiculous day after day. I haven't got so much time to waste. The amount at stake isn't worth the time involved, etc., etc. And therefore, he said that it could be that this case got pushed off indefinitely. And maybe later on, they even forgot about it. And then, la'achameh ve'esrim, these people arrive in Olam Emes, and there is an outstanding debt. There's some money that's owed, there's damages that haven't been paid, a debt that hasn't been repaid, there's something, and this person arrives at the gates, a person is Nifta, arrives at the gates of Olam Emes, and they say, sorry, you can't get in. Yeah, there's still something to be sorted out in Olam HaTachdoin, and maybe one person has to go back as a Gilgul, or appear in a dream, or get the matter sorted out before you can come into Olam Emes, before you can come into Gan Eden. And it's a problem for the Nifta. Well, Dan Greenhouse told the story. He said that there was a lady in Schoenfeld Square who was Nifta. The children sat Shiva for a week. At the end of the Shiva, after the Shiva, on the following night, the lady appeared to her daughter in a dream. And he said to her that I borrowed a book from the Jewish lending library, from the Yiddish library in Stamford Hill. And the book is in my room. She told her the name of the book, and she told her where you'll find it. So when you go to my room in Schoenfeld Square to clear it out, please find the book and return it to the library, because here I don't have menucha in Olam Emes, because I've got an outstanding debt which hasn't been paid. I borrowed a book, it hasn't been returned. And she went the next day to her mother's bedroom. She found the book. It was exactly the book that her mother said, and in the place that her mother said. And she returned the book, and she never had that dream again. So it can be... Sorry?
Must have been a
Yakov. But he didn't say any names. So he said that because Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with all the cases single-handedly, and he couldn't deal with all the cases single-handedly, therefore there were cases that were left outstanding until the person was Nifta, and then it was a problem with Olam Emes. According to this vote, said Yisroi to Moshe Rabbeinu, but if you will appoint 78,000 judges, and there will be loads of Bati Dinim, and all the backlog will be cleared, and everybody who needs a Din Torah will have a Din Torah and get a Psak, then Gam Kol HaOmazeh Al Mekoimoi Yovoi V'Sholoi. That when they die, La'achameh V'Esrim, then they will come B'Sholoim, they won't have a problem getting into Olam HaEmes, because everything's been sorted out. So that was one Dvar Torah, which I thought was a beautiful Dvar Torah, and that led me on to another Dvar Torah on the same posuk, which will lead us into our subject for today if we have time to discuss halacha a little bit. Last week in his pre-Shabbos shir on Thursday night, Dan Zimmerman of the Federation, the Half-Bezin of the Federation, said over a Dvar Torah on the same posuk, B'Shem, it was the yahrzeit last Thursday of the Brisker Rosh Yeshiva, Reb David Zichron Zechatzal Levrocha, and he said it over B'Shem Reb Chaim Berlin. Yeah, the yeshiva of Yeshivas Reb Chaim Berlin is named after him. He was Nifta in Yerushalayim in 1912. He was the son of the Netziv. And Reb Chaim Berlin said over, he said over this vote, B'Shem Reb Chaim Berlin. He said as follows. He said that a person went to Moshe Rabbeinu for a Din Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, had a very, very quick tfisa. He understood the case straight away. He chapped, he was very clever. He also had Ruach HaKodesh, And with Ruach HaKodesh, it was quite easy for him to realize who was telling the truth and who wasn't telling the truth. The halacha he didn't need to look up. He knew the halacha Baal Peh. He'd spent 40 days or 40 nights learning the Torah, mitchil about sof. He had everything at his fingertips. So the case, Ifrat of Moshe Rabbeinu, got decided very quickly. He chapped almost immediately what was the situation, and he paskened in Torah. So by Moshe Rabbeinu, there wasn't really any room for pshora. There wasn't any room for negotiation, for discussion, for flexibility. Moshe Rabbeinu got the din straight away. He understood it immediately, and the result was that he gave a psak, and he moved the people on very quickly as a result of that. But there was no room for pshora. The Gemara says, Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says there's a posuk, Emes Mishpat Sholom Shiftu B'Sha'areichem. Says the Gemara, there is a din called Emes. The din Emes is Shura Sadin. When you paskin a din according to the halacha, strict halacha, then that is din Emes. But that usually leaves at least one party unhappy. The loser usually walks away very unhappy, and he thinks he didn't have a proper chance to say what he wanted to say, or the dying didn't understand him properly, etc. A guy came to me and showed me, he took somebody to the Beis Din here in London for unpaid fees. And the Beis Din awarded, let's say Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din for unpaid fees. Reuven was awarded the fees in full. Let's say it was £1,000 he was claiming off Shimon, and the Beis Din said, Shimon, you have to pay the full £1,000 within 30 days. On day 30, he got an envelope through his door with a check inside the envelope from Shimon to Reuven with an accompanying note. And he said as follows, he said, here's your £1,000, I'm paying it because that's the psak din and I have no choice. And then there's a long diatribe against the Beis Din. A long list of tannas that they didn't give him a proper chance, and that they didn't understand the case, and they're not experienced, and they don't understand business, v'chula, 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 hagansa drosha. Very often, din emes leaves one party unhappy, says the Gemara, but the next thing that the Pasuk speaks about is mishpat sholom. Says, eize mishpat sheyesh boi sholom, that's the idea of pshora. We'll use the word compromise at the moment. Compromise is not a good word, because compromise just suggests that we're just taking, you know, a claim of £1,000, so they say, let's settle at 500. You concede 500, you get 500, and call it half-half, 50-50. People say that sometimes as a criticism about Botidinim, and it's not true. Let's talk about compromise or flexibility, but the word pshora will come to soon. But Moshe Rabbeinu in Ishkevein ka pshora. But Moshe Rabbeinu was only din emes. There wasn't mishpat sholoi. Said Yisroel to Moshe Rabbeinu, but if you will appoint 78,000 judges, and they will hear the cases, and it takes a lot longer, and it takes them longer to understand it, and they can talk for longer, and they've got more time on their hands, and then they have to look up the halacha, and they have to declare, etc., etc., there is still time for pshora. In halacha, we'll come to it if we have the time, in halacha, there are three shittas as to when you can do pshora. At what stage? And we will define pshora a little bit later. But at what stage can you do pshora? According to some, it's only before the dayan has made up his mind. In other words, he's heard the case, he knows what it's about, and at that stage he says, Rabbosai, I would like to make a pshora. I think we should make a pshora in this case. Exactly how pshora works, we'll speak if we can. That's one shitta. The other shitta is that up till and after psak din, you can still do pshora. The dayan can still discuss pshora with the parties. And the shachel, that's the halacha, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Yud Beis, in Choshe Mishpat. And the shach there holds that even after the dayan has given the psak, you can still revert to pshora, kol zman, that the dayan has not said to Reuven, that you can now go and enforce the pshora, enforce the psak din. In other words, once he's told Shimon, and now this is my psak, and now Shimon, pay Reuven, or now Reuven, go to Shimon and claim your money, or grab his car, or whatever it is that the Beis Din allows him to do in order to secure his money. The shach holds that even at that point, you can still reverse the psak and go into pshora. Said the Reb Chaim Berlin, by Moshe Rabbeinu Ishkvein ka pshora, but by the Dayonim, pshora was possible. It took longer, they had more time, etc. And therefore, v'gam kol omazeh al mekoymo yovoi v'sholoim, that now the change will be that from from a situation where there was no Peshara, where there was only the emes of Moshe Rabbeinu's judgment, we're now in a situation where lesser Dayanim are judging, and there can be Peshara, and there will be Pesharas. And Pesharas leave both parties happy. I didn't get everything that I wanted, but I walked away with something. And therefore, it's a Mishpat Sholem. V'gam polam hazeh amakoyme yovo v'sholem. It doesn't answer the question of why b'sholem. It doesn't answer that one as to why the base, but why Moshe, but why Yisrael added this phrase, Al-Makoymo Yovai V'Sholem, is because this would create a situation of Sholem in Dine Torah, which there wasn't in front of Moshe Rabbeinu on his own. By the way, it just occurred to me, Agav, while I was thinking about this, Boyi B'Sholem Atoras Bala. Why do we say that? But the answer, I think the answer is Boshet. If you're talking about Shabbos Malkaso, as in L'Chodoidi L'Kras Kalo, that's not a human being. Right, L'sholoim, B'sholoim can make a difference in a human being, whether or not they're still achieving, they're still going, they're still accumulating mitzvahs, and accumulating zchuyas, etc., etc. But for Shabbos Malkasa, that doesn't apply. It's an inanimate object. Therefore, to say Boyi B'sholoim is okay as far as Shabbos is concerned. And if you're talking about a kalo, us.
Could be,
and therefore it's a Bisholim situation. Didn't occur to me, but that could work as well. And if you're talking about a colour, as in Boyi V'Sholem Ateres Bal, although it's talking about, but we use it and they sing it under the chuppah, etc., a colour comes with a clean slate. And therefore, a colour comes with a sleep there. So she's a Boyi B'Sholem. She's got a clean slate. All her cheshbonos have been dismissed, and she starts fresh. Could be. Anyway, that's that situation. Now, so the question is as follows: the Torah said, "For Eile Hamishpotim Hashaitosim Lifdeim, you have to go to Din Torah." Va'omdoshnei Anoshim Hashaleim Ariv Lifdei Hashem, and therefore you're chayv to go to a Beis Din. Who says, and where does it say that you're allowed to bend the rules? To be flexible and to do something called pshara. That's the question. The nidan is as follows. Avada, before the case goes to Beis Din, that was the job of Aaron HaKohen. Yeah, Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. Avada, if you could settle the case, the two sides can negotiate. It's what they call in English, not a court case, but mediation. Yeah, you do mediation and you settle something in advance. You don't have to go. You can avoid the Beis Din altogether. You can avoid the hearing. In every court case nowadays, civil cases, the judges expect the two parties to have gone to mediation first, to have tried to settle without actually having the court case. If that's for that, you don't need a Psak Beis Din. For that, you don't need Pshara. The Pshara is that you negotiate between yourselves, you settle something, then you don't need the Beis Din at all. We're talking about where the Beis Din are hearing a case, and at some stage in the proceedings, the Beis Din are going to enforce a Pshara as a Psak Beis Din. It's going to be a Psak of the Beis Din that the Pshara shall apply, and not Shuras Hadin. So how does it work? There's a sefer called Bala Turim Ala Torah. I once heard a Rav say that the sefer was written by a Rishon, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Osher, the son of the Rosh, who lived between 1270 and 1343. That's 700 years ago. And it's printed at the side of the Chumash. And it's got a very interesting little vertlech. It's got gematrius. It's got always base bimasorius, gimel bimasorius. You find this posuk here, and you find this posuk two other places in Nach. And then he tries to make a link between them, etc. It's like a small divrei Torah, and they seem quite insignificant. Now, his name was Yaakov, so he could have called the sefer Zera Yaakov. He could have called his sefer Toivo Alecha Yaakov, anything including his name, like many, many other Mechaber Esforim. But he called the sefer Baal HaTorim. Why did he call his parish Al HaTorah Baal HaTorim? He wanted you to know that the person who wrote these Vertlech was the Baal HaTorim, was the Tor Shulchan Aruch. He was the person who wrote, who divided the Shulchan Aruch into the four Torim, and who divided all the simonim, and is the basis of Shulchan Aruch, and Tor Shulchan Aruch is learnt worldwide every day, about every minute probably. It's the basis of Halacha. He is the author of Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef came along, and we have the Mechaber that we have today. Still follows the same layout, the same simonim, and obviously referring to the Tor is part of Halacha all the time. The Tor Shulchan Aruch wrote the Baal HaTorim. That you should know that every word that he wrote Yeah, it's not just a little vettel, it's not just a gematria, as if it's insignificant. It's important. What does the Torah learn? What does the Torah learn from Ve'ele HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneim? And the Pasuk this week, Ve'ele HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneim, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, the Baal HaTorim writes, Neutrikoin. This tells us, HaMishpotim reads as follows, Hadayan Mitzuveh She'yaseh Pshoro, that the Dayan is commanded to do Pshoro, Terem Yas HaMishpot, before he even does, Rosh Tevas HaMishpotim, is Hadayim Mitzuvah Shiasa Pshara Tom Yasa Mishpot, Asher Tosim Lifdehem, Asher says, Im Shneem Roitzim. And from here, you can learn that when the Torah says, go to a Bezdin, the Torah within that is Merames, that there should be, and the Torah, and we're learning this, and it's Paskin, the Torah Shulchan Aruch La'alocha, first of all, that the Mitzvah of Pshara is a Mitzvah on the Dayan, it's a Mitzvah on the Bezdin, not on the Balidin. Secondly, Im Shneim Roitzim, that the Baalei Din have a right to say, no, we don't want to do Pshora. They have the ultimate say as to whether or not. And thirdly, that it's a mitzvah. Not a chiyuv on the dayan, but it's a mitzvah. The Gemara brings down two shittas. The Gemara brings down one shitta, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef Rabbi Aglili. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, he says, you're not allowed to do a pshora. He holds that pshora, he says, Hamavorech has Hamavatea. The Losh Bitua also means pshora. I can't discuss that now. But he says, Einze Mavorech Elamanites. He says, Yikov Adin Esahor. Halacha is halacha, din is din, there's no such thing as pshora. Ki Hamishpot Lelakimu. That's the shitta of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Gemara then brings a psak of Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. And he writes, V'chein halocha, and that's what the Torah Shulchan Aruch is speaking about, mitzvah livtoya. It's a mitzvah to do pshorah. Shneema, this pasuk that we said before, emes u'mishpat sholem, shifta b'sharechem, a pasuk in Zechariah. Eze mishpat sheyesh bo sholem, which is the mishpat that's going to bring around sholem, that is pshorah. And Rabbi Yochanan said, V'chon Ritzia, daflam on the base, lo'ichor vo yushlaim, Erlo Shemidu Dineim al Divrei Torah, says the Gemara, what's wrong with Din Torah? How could you destroy your shlime? Shemidu Dineim, Erlo, because they stuck to the Din Torah, to the Shuras Hadin, for Loyovdu Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, we see already now, Merumas in the Pasuk, according to the Torah Shulchan Aruch, and in the Gemara, V'chein Halacha in Choshe Mishpat Simen Yud Beis, that there is a mitzvah on the Bezdin to do Pshorah. I'm not an expert on the procedures in Bezdin. I don't know enough about it really to be masbir. But just to give you a few pointers as to what's the difference between when we speak about Pshorah. We're not just speaking. It could be that there's a claim for 1,000 and the Bezdin split it, but not necessarily 500-500. It could be 100-900. It could be 300-700, etc. That's one possibility of Pshorah. But there are other things. What you're doing is you're giving the Dayan flexibility to move away from Shura Sadin. It doesn't mean that it's not Din Torah. But for instance, just to give a few examples, if the Dayan is convinced of the validity of a case through circumstantial evidence, he's got the gut feeling, he knows, he's heard this one, he's heard that one, he believes this one, he believes that one, he believes that aid, he doesn't believe that aid, etc. But he hasn't got clear proof. Then if you sign up to Pshura, then the Dayan has discretion. Sometimes, in Halacha, strictly speaking, documents are not admissible because it says mipiem v'lo mipiksovam. We learn that as a drosha in the Torah. Afal pikein, if you do pshora, then you say to the dayan, documents will be admissible, even documents which are not Jewish documents, non-Jewish documents, land registry, and that sort of thing. Those sort of things can be admissible if you allow pshora. The umdana is the dayan having the feeling, right? There's also the idea of hearing evidence. It's also the idea of hearing evidence from Suleidus. What about taking evidence from a goy? Or hearing evidence from a lady? Or hearing evidence from a cotton? There is a concept in Halacha of hearing evidence from a lady or cotton. For instance, take our two friends Esther and Malka. If they have a fight in the Vabashil upstairs in the ladies' shul, says the Ramor, you wouldn't expect men to be present at the time. So if they're going to go to Din Torah, then you'll have to take evidence from ladies. But that's pshara already. What we're saying is we're going away from the strict letter of the law, Shuras Hadin, and we're allowing the dayan flexibility in order that when the dayan can say, I'm convinced that my psak is right, even though it may not follow the exact halachas of Shuras Adin. I get flexibility. That's the idea of Shura. All these halachas, right, are things that have to be learned. They're in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not familiar with them too much. I'm just trying to give you some examples, some pointers to say that Shura is something which will bring around, which is advisable. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the diet to encourage the Balei Din to accept Shura. They have the ultimate veto. And we learned that already from Ve'ele HaMishpotim. And as Rabbi Yochanan said, Lechova Yushlaim Elashadonu Dinei and Din Toya, they didn't do Pshara, and therefore the opposite must be true, that if one does do Dinei Toya, and one accepts Pshara, and one walks out with Mishpat Sholem, and there's Sholem in Klal Yisrael, then Im Yetz Shem in that Zechus, then the Rabbi Yochanan will bring the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach Tzkeinu B'meir V'meinon.
Amen. I don't know what you want.